Marshall Walden. And then Chris Cummings.
Hi, my name is Marcia Waldman. I live on South Kidder Creek Loop. I'm right next to the road. And I just wanted to say, I'm for the camp that everybody said. I'm just so happy to live there. And I heard about the camp when I bought my property. I understood it was going right directly next to me. And so we tolerate that. But I didn't know at the time I purchased the property that my rural way of living was going to be turned upside down by the traffic that's going to be inundating us. Right now when the camps have their big to-dos, we know they're coming and we kind of plan around that. But to have that continuously going on, I wish I would have known that. I probably would have never purchased property. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Chris Cummings, and then Glenn Pearson.
Hello, I'm Chris Cummings. I am a civil engineer that authored the wastewater feasibility study and the water evaporation study, so I'm here to answer any of your questions in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Glenn Pearson, you didn't get much of a break there to think about it before you got to talk. And then after Mr. Glenn Pearson will be Mr. Greg Thompson. Greg Thompson. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, my name is Glenn Pearson. I live at 20840 Live Oak Road, Red Bluff, California. And I'm the author of the groundwater surface water interaction analysis for the report. And I'm here to answer any of the questions you have, make any clarifications. I'm here at your service. And so I just wanted to introduce myself. I spent 37 years working for the Department of Water Resources. On top of that, after retiring, I went to work for, I taught at Chico State, did environmental monitoring and groundwater, or excuse me, water management. And so I spent a lot of time working on this document. And it was insightful for me, and I hope that I can answer any of the questions that you have.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Craig Thompson, and then Mike Romberger.
Well, good morning. My name is Craig Thompson, and I first went to Kidder Creek when it was in the 90s, and my parents drove me there, and I cried when they dropped me off because I did not want to go. So I guess I was an opponent at that point of the camp. But they picked me up on Friday, and I cried again. I guess I cried a lot when I was a kid, but I cried when they picked me up because I wanted to stay. And for me, that kind of began this lifelong relationship with Kidder Creek. And so the life transformation that you've heard about from different people this morning, I'm one of those people. I was a camper. When I graduated from high school, Kidder Creek informed my decisions of what I was going to do next. I went to college, came back every summer during college to work on summer staff. I graduated in 2008, which was not a good time to find a job, but Kidder Creek offered me a job as an intern. And that's when this whole master site plan process began, was during 2008. I was an intern, transitioned to full-time staff, and then stepped off of the staff in 2016. And now I get to serve on the board of directors. So it's been a whole process for me from beginning to today of being as involved with Kidder Creek as I possibly can because of what it did in my life. And my story is not unique. My story is one of thousands, literally thousands, of people's lives who have been transformed. Now my kids, I have three kids, and now they all go to Kidder Creek as campers. It's the first place that they ever sat on a horse. It is the highlight of their summer every year to go. And as I think about this project, as I think about what's going on in the world today, there is no shortage of problems in the world today. I mean, ask yourself when you think about the trajectory of the world, the world is going, where we're headed, is there any shortage of problems? When I think about that, the answer is an overwhelming no. There's no shortage of problems. But there is a shortage of solutions. There's a shortage of solutions that are going to impact the world in a positive way. When you think about the world that kids are growing up in today, what are those solutions? And I believe Kidder Creek is one of those solutions. In fact, I think it is one of the most powerful solutions to the problems of the world today. And so we're hearing about impact on neighbors, and that is absolutely true. I mean, Tim said that there's no way around that. We have been very, very upfront about that from the beginning, that we know that there's an impact. But I want the neighbors, I want the community to know that every sacrifice they make, I believe, is making the world a better place. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Mike Rumberger, and then Barry Barhart.
Good morning. My name is Mike Rumberger. I'm the president and CEO of Mount Hermon Association down in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And just to clarify, Mount Hermon is only in the Santa Cruz Mountains and here, not in other parts of the country. Mount Hermon was established in 1906, first Christian camp west of the Mississippi River. And it was on October 4th of 2004 that Kidder Creek and Mount Hermon merged into one. And the reason was to expand the reach to kids in a way that we couldn't do in our present location down in the Santa Cruz Mountains, an adventure with horseback riding and river rafting and mountain biking and backpacking. A few things I want you to know about our merge together and our relationship together. Although we're located in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Kidder Creek was started by locals here, and it is Andy Workin and Tim Lloyd and Isaac Craig and others who are local here, who run it and who guide it. Craig Thompson, who just spoke, is on our board down at Mount Hermon and represents this area very well and lives in Etna and leads Rockside Ranch up here. Mount Hermon does not profit off of Kidder Creek, so when we talk about greed, we actually subsidize Kidder Creek. We do have a greed, and that is that we want more kids to be impacted and to be touched and to be changed. And as a leader myself, I understand your role of the concerns of the local residents to be good leaders of this place, as you should be. You should be concerned about traffic and water and animal life and the environment. All these things are legitimate, and you do well to protect this place. It's a beautiful place. But I also want you to consider what you have heard already about the children and the youth and their families. And when we still lived in Denver, Colorado, before I ever came on staff at Mount Hermon, our junior high son came to a place called Kidder Creek, and he got to backpack, and he got to jump off cliffs into the water, and he got to sleep in tents and things he had never done before with loving counselors. His name is Caleb. He's now 23. He's a good young man. And one of the reasons is because of people who loved him and cared about him poured into him. And that's what we get to do. And so what I ask you to consider with all the other things that you must consider as leaders is that first and foremost, you're about human beings and caring about them and about their future. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir. Barry Barnhart. And then Lauren Chilson, I think.
Thank you. My name is Barry Barnhart. I'm the Assistant County Superintendent of the Siskiyou County Office of Education. I'm here on behalf of Alan Carver, the Superintendent-elect of the County Office of Education. He's taking over at the end of this month as well. So I'm here in an official capacity to confirm that, Alan Carver specifically has been doing this work with outdoor education for years. We have a whole science department in our County Office of Education that directly impacts students here in Siskiyou County, and that outdoor work stands to gain by this movement that we're hoping that you would support today. We are impressed by the leadership that is investing in the facility at Kidder Creek, and we are also on the County Office of Education side working to scale up our efforts to expand the outdoor school and the opportunities that different districts here in the county have in going to Kidder Creek. So we are poised to expand our efforts in that as well. It's a great location for field trips if people have already attested. And one thing to note as well is that Kidder Creek kept students engaged and hands-on through the pandemic, and that was in short supply all over the country. But it was nice to have that as an outlet here in Siskiyou County. We feel that this proposal is good for schools. It's good for economy, as is mentioned before. It's great for current students, but it's also great for those returning students that experience the benefits in attending the camp and then return as possible employees on summer basis, you know, as they're working on developing their own life goals. So we encourage you to consider this option positively. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Lauren? And after Lauren will be Drew Travis.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Lauren Chilson. I'm a professional traffic engineer. I prepared the traffic study on behalf of the county for the EIR document. I'm absolutely happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Drew Travis.
Drew Travis. I live in Fort Jones. I'm the pastor at the Scott Rally Green Church for the last 30 years. Kidder Creek started when I was, I believe, 9th or 10th grade. I grew up in Scott Rally and knew well Dick Jones, who founded the camp and was always very concerned about the community and disadvantaged kids in the community and wanted to help them to go to camp. And I think that theme has continued to the present. As a pastor for 30 years, I'm well aware, as you are too, of the toxic influences that are our world. I sit with parents, with kids, with divorce issues, with drug addiction issues, and just a myriad of things that are attacking our culture and our young people in so many ways. On Friday nights, my wife and I and our daughter, we cook hamburgers for the kids that have just finished a week at camp, and the looks on their faces of the positive experience that they've had at camp and just how much fun they've had at camp is really indescribable. They're given a foundation of faith in the Bible, just a network of criteria on how to live life and go out into this world that we live in and make positive choices. So I stand today in support of Kidder Creek Camp and hope that you'll approve this plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Deanna Ayers, and then after her it'll be Stephanie Williams.
Good morning. My name is Dana Ayers, and I am the ranch camp manager at Kidder Creek Camp. And I also have the privilege of living right across the street from the camp at 2239 South Kidder Creek Road. I am here to tell a story. So this was several years ago, and a camper came to camp, and I was given the heads up that he could be a problem. He could be a problem because this junior high age kid witnessed the murder of his mother. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, how are we going to help a kid who's had to go through this? No kid should have to see that. So he came along. His counselor said he was a handful. And about three-quarters of the time through the week, this kid disappeared. We were all standing around the barn and just got done riding horses. And when a kid disappears at camp, we go into high alert, of course. Where's Jason? Where's Jason? And I happen to walk behind the barn to where all the horses are all tied up. And I see Jason. And Jason is standing at his horse with his face buried in that horse's mane, sobbing. And as the counselor ran around the side of the building and saw him too, should I get him? I says, no. Let that kid stand there. Let that kid stand there and sob. His grandmother brings him to camp every summer since then. The kid made a change. The kid's doing okay. And so is his little sister. That's the transformation that we're talking about of the kids at Kidder Creek. It could be on a grand scale like Jason, or it could be on a tiny scale. But our kids need camp. As Craig said, this is about human beings. This is about kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Stephanie Williams. And after Stephanie will be Murray Taylor.
Well, my name is Stephanie Williams. I've been a resident of Siskiyou County for about 35-plus years. I'm also a property owner on the South Kittle Creek Loop. I would like to ask the board to consider that there are two main issues in the western United States, that is fire and water, and the prognosis for both is poor. So you can put in any contingencies that you like, but we are at the mercy of Mother Nature. And with catastrophic fire and the water issues, there is no way to predict how this can go. We're talking about kids, and believe me, I've worked 32 years with the youth of this county at the juvenile hall and in probation. I understand the need for youth to be well attended to and interventions in place. But I would also like you to consider the residents of that loop. I have worked for probation for 32 years and given 100% to that department. You have a widow whose husband was a major health care provider for this county for many, many years, and now she has children that are also doing the same. You have decorated veterans on that loop. You have ex-principals on that loop who have dedicated years of service and paid years of property taxes here. Those people count too, and they count a lot because they are your long-term committed residents to this county. They don't come and go in the summers. They have been here for many years. Please consider them. Do you want to drive those people out? Maybe unintentionally, but the possibility is huge. And most likely, you're talking about another pond up there. You're talking about a town the size of Etna. Please investigate how much water the city of Etna uses every day. Now look at the drainage there that is already in dire shape. Please, kids count, but so do your older established residents. And keep that in mind. Please, thank you.
Thank you. Murray Taylor? And we recognized your letter into the record, too.
Pardon?
We recognized your letter into the record, too, but go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for the chance to talk. I just came from the dentist, so my mouth might be a little swollen up. I really want to thank the opportunity to speak here. And first of all, I have no doubt about the good work done at the camp and the need to deal with the juveniles the way the situation is today. But what I'm concerned, I was a fireman. I fought wildland fire for 33 years in the Northwest, 27 as a smoke jumper, part of that in Alaska. And in the last 20 years, I've been a lookout in Dusel Rock Lookout. So I've kept an idea on fire, and what I want to talk about here, I think the gorilla in the room on this issue is catastrophic fire. I'm not talking about medium intensity fire, high intensity fire. I'm talking about catastrophic fire, the kind of fire we have now. And the car fire in Redding, a tornado picked a pickup up and threw it 100 yards. And the campfire burned down, and the campfire burned the entire town of Paradise. Here locally, the Slater Butte fire burned from west of Happy Camp across all burned out Indian Creek, totally went over Grayback and burned clear to Kilmine, Highway 199. I'm not going to mention the river complex, because at one point that did threaten Happy Camp. If we'd have had a bad wind event, who knows what could have happened. And then, of course, we had the lava fire. I was on the lookout. I saw it jump the railroad tracks. I saw it jump the highway. I saw it tear out across Shasta Valley. Home after home going up and fuel tanks exploding. And nobody could get in front of that fire, because when you have catastrophic fire like that, there are two dangers to take in the front end. Then let's look at the McKinney fire this year. I was on the lookout and heard the report, the initial response. I saw when it finally went bad, when that microburst cloud come over the top. That little community had a two-lane highway running right through the middle of it. And within an hour or two, four people died trying to escape that fire. That was a catastrophic fire. People who lived there and worked in fire said they had never seen fire behavior like that. That was a residence with a two-lane highway going through it. Kidder Creek Camp is located up a dead-end canyon with one way in. And the other way that they call an escape route, I've walked that, I think it's woefully inadequate. If you had anything like a catastrophic fire event in the area of that camp, quickly, both of those roads would be cut off.
Sir, I just have to cut you off right there, but no, thank you for your
comments.
Pardon? I have to stop you right there at 3 minutes, but thank you for your comments.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any more in-house comments? Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yeah, just come up there. Just say your name for the record so they can record it. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Chairman, supervisors, my name is Roberto Aramburu.
Do you need that spelled, Ms. Wendy?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Sure. A M B U L A.
L A?
Excuse me. A R A M B U L A.
Thank you.
Right.
And you're going to fill
and
out
Roberto,
a
daughter with a note.
And they'll fill out a form for us.
Yeah, if you can just fill out one of those little forms when you get
when
done.
You're done talking.
When
that'd
sure,
be great.
Sure,
thank you.
That. Thank you very much. I retired. I suffered some brain injury. Permanently, I'm half of who I used to be, thinking and physically. I live in pain. I retired from Washington State. I work for the government there. I am a fourth. We are a fourth generation a military family. My grandfather was a general. My dad fought the Second World War when the Japanese were taking Philippines. Myself, I did work for federal government, narco traffic in Mexico, and I exposed my life not only to the drug dealers, but the corruption in the same government. I have a price on my head. I have to leave the country because they gave me 2 weeks. My friends, which were healers, told me to leave the country 2 weeks. They have 2 weeks to get me, so I left. I bring my two babies and my family. I wasn't going to leave. I put my life in risk for women, children, and old men, because they were going to be abused even by my own people. And I put my life in there, and I throw my guns, and I say, pull it or fight me. And you have to fight me to give me the honor to die with respect. And give yourself some honor and drop your fear. Drop your gun. You are bigger, I'm small. I was the smallest in the family always. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I end up here because these guys find a way to replace me with a dead criminal, and they'll disfigure the face and they'll present it to the person. The government has a price on my head because I went against them and I said, you cannot abuse people. So my dad did kind of the same thing. My grandfather was mutilated. He became a president of Argentina, but he was from Basque Country, Spain. Anyways, my son is special forces in this country. My dad fought for this country as well. And my son is a gentleman. He helped every lady to cross the street. Help everybody we believe in doing the right thing. We are not messing around, and I never was messing around. I am alive, I'm speaking here, because I never mess around. Kids are very valuable. I put my life, women, old men, for them. I work hard, I retire. They disabled me. I still want to keep working, but they deserve doctors, psychologists, whatever.
I'll have to cut you off there, but thank you.
Say what?
I'll have to cut you off there with the 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying we serve the country working or serving military. We retired, we did all this work, and we found this property, and we live in this property. And now, if Kitter Creek, and I respect Andy and others, they want to pay me for my amount of money I put in that house and that property, I will consider selling it, because I don't want to live with the consequences of what these people that live in the community that we work hard, we pay taxes.
I'll cut you off right there, but no, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good point. Thank you for saying your point. Sure. I'm going to, is there any more public comment for anyone that hasn't spoken yet?
Well, I've spoken, but I'd like to say one more thing.
Oh, no, no. Can't do that. Only if you haven't spoken yet.
That ain't fair.
I see a lady over here, and next, if you'd like to speak.
Please. Thank you. I'm Pam Malmberg. My husband and I, Norman, we're part of the founding families of Kidder Creek, and so it's been a long journey all of the years. The first food cook, the first backpacking trip, and so on, were all by us, by kids, by our volunteers, and so on. So we are up here, and I lived on South Kidder Creek Road 14 years, the entire time of the working on this use permit. And these are wonderful people. That's not the problem at all. They have good reason to be concerned about the area they live in. I live right almost at the corner, so I saw the traffic right there. But none of it is anything that would ever bother me, because it only happens 2 days a week that you get the most cars, that they drop them off and pick them up. 600 people are not going to be on campus at that same time. So those are words that make people nervous and scary. Some of them are in, if we're sleeping spots, there are camps and cots, there's buildings, and then there's sleeping bag spots. When you do 662 or whatever it is, they count every place the person put their head, including all the empty backpacking spots, because they're going to the river by the next morning. So yes, there's traffic, but that road was built, a county road built to carry 2,500 cars a day. And even in the curve where it's tight, still, that's what it was built for. Another few fast comments here. The pond is a pass-through. We don't use the pond water for any more than collecting. It's a pass-through. That'll be in your paper, your water reports and so on. It also is a place, the other ponds that we have, we can collect water for fire. The helicopters come in. So the Scott Valley plan, Kidder Creek was established before that plan was implemented. It's a wonderful plan, and it's done what it's supposed to do. But the plan provided for 25,000 people to be in the valley by 2025. So if you read the plan, you'll see that they expected for every building spot to equate to 25,000 people. The point of the plan was that ground floor is so gorgeous, and the farmers and ranchers, and the beauty of the place is maintained, including the woods and because we are asking for a rezoning on that. It's my understanding that there are not, it's not going to be a residence. We have buildings, you can look at the plan, specific buildings for specific reasons. And let's see, one last little thing here. The camp itself, in order to do what it's doing that impacts our county, our valley, has to have the money that it's going to generate. You heard Mount Hermon say, and I was on the Mount Hermon board 9 years, including, and then the Kidder Creek board 10 years before that. You heard him say that they have been subsidizing that, and that is why we merged. We're still our own 501c3c, independent of Mount Hermon, but we merged because we moved out.
And if you could just, Miss Wendy, do you need the name spelled?
I've got it.
We had to make a decision on Kidder Creek Board, make it or break it. And so we partnered with the best camp in the world, Mount Hermon, and the right
Center. I'll stop you up there.
Please, you know I'm for this, so I don't have to say that to you.
Thank you. Sir, if you could just say your name for the record and everything.
My name is Chris Logman, L-O-O-G-M-A-N. I could go on for 20 minutes at least explaining the benefits and the advantages of having the Kidder Creek Camp in our valley, but I'm just going to give you a couple. One, I was a supervisor with Child Protective Services, and as you know, we address risk with kids. We'd taken three children in protective custody, a serious drug issue with the mother, abuse issues by the father. We were preparing to file a petition in court, and I don't need to remind you the negative effects that it has on children and families. And as a supervisor, I decided to take a risk. And that risk is that particular week we were having, Kidder Creek was having a family camp. So I contacted the camp, and we enrolled that mother and those three children in that camp. At the end of that week, decided not to file a petition. The mother went to an in-house program with her children. A year later, those children were still with her, and she was still improving. Just let alone the fiscal cost of three children in protective custody for 3 years. Countless cases where Child Protective Services were involved with Kidder Creek on a volunteer basis with family camp and us getting kids camp sponsored into camp. I worked as a staff member in Kidder Creek Camp for 3 summers in the office. Not one time in those 3 years was there a child that was not allowed to go to camp, even if the funds were lacking, either through sponsorships or grants or through the goodness of their heart allowing a child to attend camp. Through my involvement with kids in Scott Valley since moving here in 1991, I have seen a lot of lives change with children. Children that are different today because of Kidder Creek Camp. I know there's concerns environmentally things. I understand that. I live there too, but I believe those issues are being addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any more in-house public? Yes, Ms. Lee.
Can we take a break at some point?
We will take
it. Sounds like we're going to have more going on.
We have 3 online. If you want me to take a break before we do that, Ms. Wendy?
I'd love to.
All right. We're going to take a break right now.
Thank you.